Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a Donegal deputy claims the government has subsidised energy companies at the expense of citizens. A Donegal teenager has been left with severe burns after a TikTok challenge went wrong. A local priest is urging parishioners to be aware of scam emails purporting to be from him. And members of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District are to hold a workshop to discuss what can be done to secure and repurpose derelict buildings in the town and district. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Chris Ashmore. First news though, a Donegal deputy claims the government has subsidised energy companies at the expense of citizens. Deputy Thomas Pringle has told the Dáil that despite gas prices returning to pre-war levels, consumer bills continue to soar while energy companies make eye-watering profits that is being facilitated by the government. He says unless action is taken against energy prices, more businesses will close and people will continue to struggle.
Last month, Europe's gas prices returned to pre-war levels, yet citizens' bills continue to soar while energy companies make eye-watering profits. The government has not only allowed this to happen, but it has actually facilitated it. I warned of this back in September when speaking on Budget 2023. I warned that by giving out the three instalments of energy credits, we would be putting money straight into the pockets of the energy companies. At the time, I asked why would energy companies ever reduce their prices when they know that the government will not only let them keep rising, but they will actually pay them when they do it as well. 5 months later, and here's the proof. Gas prices have gone down, energy companies are paying less, yet not a single energy company or supplier has reduced its prices to their customers. Why? Because they know that the government will facilitate any ridiculous rate that they decide to charge. Profiteering on a war is unethical and wrong, and instead of taking power away from these profit-hungry, immoral companies, the government has instead subsidised them at the expense of their own citizens. I heard a quote on the radio today and I think it's very true. It says, gas prices rise like a rocket but drop like a feather. It is incredibly frustrating to see the detrimental impact that the energy prices are having on people and the businesses in my constituency of Donegal. Many businesses in the county were forced to close their doors due to the struggle they face in paying energy bills, and I fear that many more will follow after what has been a very difficult winter for many small businesses. The motion put forward today rightly points out the fact that there is a risk of energy crisis becoming a jobs crisis if businesses begin to close. The people of this country are already enduring a cost of living crisis, and the last thing that is needed is yet another crisis joining the endless cycle of crisis in the country. Citizens are struggling enough. Food banks are becoming increasingly frequent and sought after in rural communities as families struggle to put food on the table. It is devastating and we can't continue to pay this way.
Meanwhile, the Taoiseach says a decision on extending cost of living supports will be made by next Tuesday. Opposition parties have been putting pressure on Leo Varadkar to renew some of the measures ahead of the February the 28th expiry date. The supports include excise cuts on petrol and diesel, VAT reductions on electricity and a reduced VAT rate for the hospitality sector. Mr. Varadkar says everyone will know what the plans are in 6 days' time.
I can assure people that there won't be a cliff edge on the 28th of February when a lot of the measures are due to expire. We'll make decisions no later than the Cabinet meeting next Tuesday. We'll inform the Dáil and the public next Tuesday, and then any legislation that has to be done between now and the 28th of February will be done.
A Donegal teenager has been left with severe burns after a TikTok challenge went wrong. The 13-year-old sustained 13 third-degree burns after attempting the hand sanitizer challenge. Her grandmother, Cathy O'Connor, was speaking out earlier on today's 9 till noon show in a bid to warn others.
My granddaughter, she's only 13, and she got involved in a challenge that's on TikTok, and she got very severely badly burned. Now, I knew nothing about the challenge, and a lot of people that I've spoke to since knew nothing about this particular challenge. People are encouraged to spray sanitizer on their hands and set light to it. But something went wrong for my granddaughter. That the fire didn't go out. I had three of my granddaughters with me at the weekend, and they were flicking lighters, and I never paid any heed because, you know, there's a lighter there, it's normal enough to flick it. But they were actually playing with this whole idea up with me, you know, and I got such a shock afterwards. I said, because that was an ignorance on my behalf that, you know, I didn't ask them what they were doing or, you know, and it never occurred to me that they would be doing anything other than flick a lighter, you know.
Yeah.
A former government minister believes Ireland should host a major event for foreign leaders on St Patrick's Day rather than send ministers abroad. Ministers and government representatives will travel to 74 cities across the world for the national holiday. Agriculture, Food and Marine Minister Charlie McConnell is set to travel to New Zealand to visit Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch. Former Transport Minister Shane Ross says there is no reason for so many ministers to head abroad next month.
The fact that everybody goes out at exactly the same time is questionable. And there is a case to be made, I suppose, for on St Patrick's Day, us hosting foreign leaders here. That would be to their advantage in their home countries, because, you know, in America, obviously, there's the Irish vote, which they have to pray to, which would be very impressed if Joe Biden was here at that time.
The Donegal Fire Service was deployed last night in response to a gorse fire in Mallin. At about 9:10, Carndonagh Fire Brigade was alerted to the blaze at Knockmany Bends. Mobile Fire Brigade was subsequently mobilised around 40 minutes later to assist. The fire was eventually brought under control and extinguished shortly after 10:30. Members of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District are to hold a workshop to discuss what can be done to secure and repurpose derelict buildings in the town and district. Members agree that in the first instance, potentially dangerous buildings need to be made safe, and then decisions can be made in terms of what buildings the council wants to secure through compulsory purchase orders. The council has been invited to apply for money under the third round of the Urban Regeneration and Development Fund. Councillor Michael McBride says this is extremely significant.
We have a big problem in Letterkenny with vacant properties and dereliction, particularly in Lower Main Street. We have a workshop organised now for the 27th of February to discuss that whole programme. I think it's fantastic news, you know, for the town. We'll have to select the projects that we want to put in there, you know, for funding. We've talked for a long, long time about trying to upgrade Lower Main Street and other buildings, you know, that are in bad state of repair. Through this programme, the council will be able to acquire those buildings, and we'll decide then at a later date, you know, whether they're going to be planned to make them safe and to sell them on, or whether to actually finish them ourselves. There will be some sites there maybe that will be acquired that we could look at doing some public-private partnerships, like retirement homes there in Lower Main Street and Letterkenny.
There was an update from officials at the meeting, and it seems very positive in terms of previous URDF rounds, things like Market Square, things like other developments in Letterkenny around the Cathedral Quarter, money coming through from those rounds as well. So it seems to be quite positive in terms of what that fund is doing.
Seems like everything's starting to knit, and it'll long last. Sure, members of the public often wonder what, you know, what's happening with all these projects, but I think, you know, over the next couple of years we're going to see a lot of these projects starting to move. And I would say, you know, in the next 7 or 8 years you'll see a massive change in Letterkenny, like from the Church Lane, the Market Square, right into Lower Main Street. I think it's all positive for the town in Letterkenny. Said in there in the meeting, it's the best news I've had as a councillor, to be honest about it, since I came in here 12 or 13 years ago.
People in the Lifford area are being warned to be aware of scam emails circulating purporting to be from a local priest. Father Colm O'Doherty says he is aware emails have been circulating claiming to be from him, asking for gifts and gift cards. He's urging people to disregard the emails and has confirmed that the matter has been reported to Gardaí. Farmers do not feel represented. That's according to Donegal sheep farmer Liam McLaughlin, who was speaking ahead of a meeting taking place in Athlone on Sunday. Mr McLaughlin says representative groups do not work together or receive enough support to make an impact on the lives of farmers. He told today's 9 till noon show that this sector needs to unite.
This is actually a meeting that's set up for farmers. Basically, it's a fact-finding mission from farmers, you know what I mean? And most farmers across the country, and the feedback we're getting, do not feel represented at the minute, neither by TDs or organisations or anything else. We're basically seem to be hung out to dry at the moment. You see more forestation coming our way. They're looking for 80% more forestry and re-wetting and maybe a reduction in the national suckler herd and things like that. You know, there's a lot of bad things coming our way, and a lot of farmers had concerns. I run a group there called Ireland's Farm Discussion Group. There's over 10,000 on it at the moment. And the idea was just put to the group. The messages started coming in, and the feedback and the phone calls. We decided to run with this meeting, but we didn't agree to a group or anything else. We're just going to see what comes out of this meeting, and it seems to be great feedback at the moment. We're getting calls from all over the country, as far as Cork, Wexford, everywhere else, in relation to it. The problem in Ireland at the minute is we have too many groups, and we haven't enough support for any one of them to have any real impact, and we don't seem to have any groups working together, and we have a kind of a divide created at the moment. No groups. Bring the farmers into a room, Everybody's a farmer. Nobody's a member of this group, that group, that group. We're hoping that farmers themselves can come together and come up with some new, fresh thinking, new ideas. You know what I mean? It's a new approach to it.
A Midlands Northwest MEP says any deal on the Northern Ireland Protocol must also resolve the democratic deficit in the Brexit Accords. Sinn Féin's Chris McManus says both the British government and EU sides have been optimistic in recent weeks about a movement toward a new solution for the protocol. However, he says given the fact that EU laws will impact on Northern Ireland, a mechanism must be found through which people there can have a say on what is enacted.
On a day-to-day basis, the European Union is going to be enacting legislations and directives which will have an impact on the 2 million people living in the north of Ireland. So we have this situation of what is effectively a democratic deficit. There needs to be some form of formal engagement between the EU institutions and the European Parliament specifically as legislators.
Nicola Sturgeon's resigning as Scotland's First Minister, a decision she says is a difficult but right one for her, her party and her country. She's been in the post for the past 8 years, becoming the first female to hold the office. Independence has been at the forefront of her tenure, something she says she believes in with every fibre of her being. At a news conference in Edinburgh, Ms Sturgeon confirms she will stay on until a replacement is found.
The First Minister of Scotland is, in my admittedly biased opinion, the very best job in the world. It is a privilege beyond measure.
The Minister for the OPW has agreed to meet with councillors in Inishowen to discuss a way forward in terms of a flood relief scheme for Burnfoot. 5 years ago, the area was devastated by unprecedented flooding. As a result, 8 families were put out of their homes for safety reasons. The Minister, in a response to Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin, says the construction of the scheme will take around 18 months. However, he has not indicated when it will commence. Deputy McLaughlin says flood relief for Burnfoot needs to be expedited.
Like so many of these projects, it's just taken too long. And what happened in Burnfoot led to 8 families having to leave their homes, be relocated, and over 5 years later, you know, there's no clear time frame when the flood defences will be completed. You know, can they be put back into their homes? We're happy there in Burnfoot. So, you know, this is deeply, deeply frustrating. We need the minister to listen to the local councillors, listen to the local community and do everything he can to speed this project up.
And these families are really at the end of their tether with this?
Oh, absolutely. And indeed, understandably, they've lost confidence that they'll ever be back in their homes. I think that's a travesty. You know, the houses were built there near the river. There were recurrent flooding issues over the years. There was a refusal to build flood defences. And it was only when they repaired their homes and so many other homes and businesses were affected that finally we won the battle to build flood defences. But years later, we're still really not far enough further. It's just, you know, it's outrageous, really, how long these projects take. It's soul-destroying for the families. And we need the minister to listen, to understand and do everything he can to push this project on.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. You'll find everything you need to stay motivated this year, in-store and online, with free next-day delivery on orders over €85 at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Chris Ashmore.
Thanks, Michaela. We begin with cross-channel soccer, and in the Premier League this evening, there's a huge game as the top two meet. Leaders Arsenal host champions Manchester City at the Emirates Stadium. Arsenal midfielder Thomas Partey is expected to miss the game through injury, while City are awaiting the availability of striker Erling Haaland. Well, City will go top of the table on goal difference if they win. If Arsenal win, they go 6 points clear and with a game in hand. City manager Pep Guardiola says Arsenal have been setting the standard.
So far, it's the best team in the Premier League. We make an incredible first round, first leg of the league. So we felt it a few weeks ago. We play a fair gap here. How commitment, sharp and everything. And yeah, we have to try to read the game we're going to play. It will be a big, big battle. And you have to be ready.
Well, Arsenal are unbeaten in their last 13 top flight home fixtures. Their boss, Mikel Arteta, says home good form is vital when pushing for honours.
For me, that's one of the things that you have to have if you want to be challenging for big, big trophies. Your home record and your place has to be somewhere that people doesn't want to come.
Kickoff at the Emirates is 7:30. Meanwhile, Chelsea are in Germany to play Borussia Dortmund in the first leg of their Champions League last 16 tie tonight. Elsewhere, Scott Parker's club Brugge entertain Benfica. And Jesse Marsh will not be the next Southampton manager. He had been in talks with the Premier League's bottom club following his dismissal by Leeds last week, but it's believed Marsh is no longer wanted by Southampton. And in the Scottish Premiership tonight, Motherwell, who have gone on 11 games without a win, will they host St Mirren. The Republic of Ireland under-16s men's team played out an entertaining 2-2 draw with Switzerland in Spain this afternoon. And a new look, Finn Harps will kickstart their Premier Division campaign on Friday night at home to Galway United. New manager Dave Rogers has assembled a new look squad that's tasked with getting Harps back to the top flight of Irish football. Nearly three quarters of the squad is from the Northwest region, and chairman Ian Harkin is encouraging supporters to get out and support the team as the rebuilding phase at Finn Harps gets underway.
Come out and support us. You know, if you can get that season ticket, please do. If you can't, come along on Friday night. It's extremely important to us. We are going through this building phase. We've been responsible in doing so as well. We've cut our playing and management costs in half. But we've, you know, with that budget, we've still been able to have two full-time managers. The vast majority of our team is going to be training six times a week now, up from three times last year. So, you know, we have a responsibility to players to give them that environment to for them to improve themselves, and that's what we're doing. It's going to be a project. It'll take us a number of years, but hopefully, you know, we get back up to the Premier sooner rather than later. And from there, you know, we're going to be looking up as well. Europe is the goal for us, so we have to be ambitious.
And staying with SSE Airtricity League soccer, Remelton native Ronan Boyce says the Derry City squad is ready to put together a title challenge this season. Derry finished runners-up to champion Shamrock Rovers last season, but Boyce says the group wants to go one step further. Derry start their new Premier Division campaign on Friday night away to St Patrick's Athletic, and Boyce says the group is eager to get started.
I can't wait. Pre-season doors now, and we know how big Derry is for people and the city, so I'm sure they can't wait as much as we can wait to get back here on a Friday night and give them something to cheer on. Like, as I said earlier, we're trying to go one further than we did last year, and we're just going to prepare our best, and we had a tough pre-season there, and we can't wait to get going now in the games.
In rugby, Hugo Keenan has signed a new three-year deal with the IRFU. A graduate of the Ireland Sevens programme, Keenan has started 27 of Ireland's last 29 test matches. And the French prop Uni Antonio could be available for their final Six Nations game, despite receiving a three-match suspension. The La Rochelle player was initially given a six-game ban for his dangerous tackle on Ireland hooker Rob Herring, but that was halved due to mitigating factors, and the third game of the ban will be struck off if Antonio completes his tackling school requirements. And in horse racing, Dylan Brown McMonagall from Donegal rode V Dancer, the 2-1 favourite to victory for trainer Ronan McNally in the Dundalk Winter Series leading trainer and jockey championship handicap at the County Louth racecourse earlier today. In Gaelic games, the C2 Waterford Arena is the venue for tonight's Sigerson Cup final. UCC are trying to win the trophy for a 24th time as they take on last season's beaten finalists UL. Throw-in for that one is at 7:30. And finally, in cricket, Ireland are in action in the T20 Women's World Cup in Cape Town this afternoon. They are taking on Pakistan, who won the toss and went into bat. Latest score there, Pakistan 44 for the loss of no wickets after 5.3 overs. And that, Michaela, is your evening sport.
Thanks, Chris. And returning to some news, the Mayor of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District says he's highly disappointed at the lack of adequate funding for Mina Roy Bridge in this week's regional roads allocation. Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly says he was surprised to hear the council had applied for €75,000 when he believes it should have been €400,000. He says that surprise turned to anger when the bridge was allocated just €25,000. Councillor Kelly says he was told there was no design in place, but was then told there may have been a design that was subsequently not accepted by an inspector. He told members and officials he wants to see the inspector's report and is calling for an immediate safety review of the bridge.
I may have no other option but to lobby to have traffic lights set up on this bridge and have it put into a single file traffic, because I fear for the people that's using this road daily that this bridge is not safe. And that's why I've asked now for a safety audit to be carried out on this bridge and to be presented in front of myself and the members. And listen, if the safety audit comes back and determines that the bridge is stable and it's adequate, well, we'll have to look at it again and see how we seek funding. But I do firmly believe that that safety audit and assessment will come back, that this bridge needs work as a matter of urgency. I had Minister Bohan Logue up, I had our own roads director up, I had our roads supervisor up, and the cracks on the side of the wall, Donal, you could stick your hand onto. The steel going across the slabs on the bottom where the traffic is travelling is rusted and exposed. The side of the bridge has been held together with two bits of ply and timber, making up a shutter to hold the road from falling in. I mean, it's absolutely dire, and I'm not going to sit back. The people elected me to represent them to the best of my ability, Donal, and that's what I'm here to do. The people's views is this bridge needs addressed. It's my view, and I'm going to keep plugging forward till I get the answers that I need and deserve for the people that travel this road daily.
A planning and design company has been appointed to prepare a town centre first plan for Milford. The process will commence with the first stage of public consultation, which opens tomorrow and runs for 3 weeks. Donal Kavanagh has more.
GM Design Associates have been contracted to prepare the plan, which the council says will be regeneration and renewal focused. The plan will look at how best to develop Milford Town Centre and secure the funding to allow that to happen. Donegal County Council says it's committed to driving these types of investments in town centres in order to support and incentivise existing and prospective business, enterprise, community and voluntary activities. People are being urged to participate in this process, with a public consultation getting underway tomorrow and lasting until Thursday, March 9th. Tomorrow also sees the launch of the Milford Town Centre First.com website. As part of the consultation process, an open drop-in event will take place this day week, Wednesday, February 22nd, at the Milford Public Services Centre. More details on our website, highlandradio.com.
Weather now, cloudy with outbreaks of rain this evening and moderate to fresh southwest winds. Widespread outbreaks of rain for a time tonight, with lowest temperatures of 4 to 7 degrees. The closing headlines this evening: a Donegal deputy claims the government has subsidised energy companies at the expense of citizens. Deputy Thomas Pringle told The Dáil that despite gas prices returning to pre-war levels, consumer bills continue to soar while energy companies make eye-watering profits that's being facilitated by government. A Donegal teenager has been left with severe burns after a TikTok challenge went wrong. The 13-year-old sustained third-degree burns after attempting the hand sanitiser challenge. The Donegal Fire Service was deployed last night in response to a gorse fire in Mallin. At about 10 past 9, Carndonagh Fire Brigade was alerted to the blaze. And members of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District are to hold a workshop to discuss what can be done to secure and repurpose derelict buildings in the town and district. Members agreed that in the first instance, potentially dangerous buildings need to be made safe, and then decisions can be made in terms of what buildings the council wants to secure through compulsory purchase orders. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast or from main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice for this Wednesday evening, February the 15th. The death has occurred of James Joseph McGranahan Honey, 32 Wolfetone Place, Glencar, Letterkenny, formerly UK and Perth, Australia. Reposing at the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest at Mountain Top tomorrow afternoon from 3:30 until 4:30, concluding with removal to St Junan's Cathedral for reception prayers at 5:00. Reposing overnight for 11:00 Requiem Mass on Friday morning, which can be viewed online at churchservices.tv, followed by burial in Cornwall Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations if wished. The Donegal Alzheimer's Society or St Junan's Nursing Home Residents Comfort Fund Letter Kenny, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.